Looking for strategies to help you protect your portfolio in these uncertain times? Visit robblack.com. robblack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
Oh my, oh my. Inflation kind of showed us that there's going to be some bumps yesterday with the CPI. And it wasn't just yesterday. It was the month and the month before. So it's the three-month trend now. So it's not a blip. It's a bump. Is it a huge bump? No. Is it an out-of-control bump? Absolutely not. It's okay. I'm fine with what I'm seeing out there. I still expect two rate cuts this year, maybe three. We'll see. Just to get us back to, we're no longer fighting inflation, because we see the PPI numbers today, and these aren't like the end-all be-all numbers. The PPI, the producer prices, rose by 0.2% in March from February. February was up 0.6%. So you see a big cooling month to month, and on a year-over-year level, the PPI is just 2.1% higher. So the consumer is getting stuck with higher gasoline prices. Not a lot that the interest rates can do just to help that or hurt that. And shelter. And shelter is a big problem. Especially in Southern California. Wait till you hear the statistic on the number of homes being bought in cash. I got that a little later in the show for you. So the producer prices came out this morning. And initially, it was a pretty positive reaction. But then as the morning went on, it's become a little bit more of a... We're only 2.5% from our all-time highs. Let's take a little off the table. Let's go through a little digestion period. First quarter was as good as it gets that I've ever seen. In a quarter, we don't need to be higher than that. That's a good two-quarter kind of run that we had in one quarter. By historical standards, this pullback, very, very minor. Let's give a Debbie to the ladies in the NCAA. Listen to this. The NCAA women's basketball tournament attracted more viewers than men by a lot. 18 million to 14 million. But the women's final gets 99% less in TV money. Woo! Someone's going to be pissed off at the bargaining table next time. Brady, Hulk, Jeter, Eli, Peyton. You know who I'm talking about, right? Athletes. Well, they know that they have such good name recognition that they're starting to band together with a group called Fanatics. The goal is to do a Comic-Con of sports to boost trading card prices, to boost the live stream shopping business, to boost sports betting. And it's kind of neat. It's got like experiences tied towards it. I get it. So when there's a Super Bowl, there'll be a Fanatics event right next to it. When there's a World Series, there'll be a Fanatics event right next to it. Because you have sports. That's the idea. The United States Postal Service. I know you're saying, do we need another thing to take money from us? Yeah, we idolize adult athletes, so we might as well give all our money to them, right? The U.S. Postal Service wants to bump up the cost of its first class forever stamps to 73 cents from 68 cents. That would be an increase of about 8% if it's approved in July. Man, those forever stamps would have been a good buy back when they first came out in the 40-cent range. Broadway is the heart of rock and roll. Still beating? Kind of. Maybe not hard. Huey Lewis's new catalog or old catalog is being turned into a Broadway show. In fact, there's 14 Broadway shows this month premiering. On the outside, you'd say that looks pretty good. But the numbers are still down 16% from where they were in 2020, pre-COVID. Another big story of note today, EV demand is being hurt by plunging resale values. New electric vehicle buyers, are you worried about high prices? Charging, lack of choice, driving range. Now you could add to that the value of selling back your electric vehicle when you decide you want to get a new one. Plummeting resale values. The average price for a used electric vehicle fell 32% last year, while the average for gas models slipped by just 3.6%. Used Teslas lost more value than any other brand, and with a 28.9% decline, they lost more than twice as much value as second place. EV prices look like they're starting to stabilize, though. That's worthy of note. Tesla did a lot of a lot of price cuts last year, which is one of the reasons why the resale value was so Me. That's a pretty bad number, right? 29% decline in 1 year. The average price of a new EV is about $50,798. The average price of a gas powered vehicle, $48,759. So about $2,040 difference. So they're pretty even. Now, unless you have a charging solution, electricity is rising faster than costs than gas. Oh boy, right? So the hybrid is the sweet spot in between. WrestleMania 40 had its highest grossing event ever. What's interesting about this is it took place in two nights over in Philadelphia. The gate was up 78% with 145,298 people attending in 2 days. That's crazy. Viewership was up 41%. Merchandise sales up 20%. They're tied towards that Fanatics that we talked about earlier with Tom Brady, Hulk Hogan, Jeter, Eli, and Peyton. But wait, there's more. Merchandise up 20%. They also brought in what's called the WWE experience, where they let fans take part in immersive experiences. Those are kind of cool. My kids, when they were younger, they really liked Stranger Things on Netflix, and there was a Stranger Things experience that they really dug. It was way too expensive, but they really enjoyed it. The WWE Superstore was there. It featured a wide range of branded merchandise from apparel to toys and beyond. Social media, 660 million views were generated across WWE's social channels. The WWE YouTube channel had its biggest day ever on Sunday with 67 million views over 24 hours. One of the big featured matches was Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He was in a tag team match that marked The Rock's first match since 2016. I am not a big fan of WWE. I know you're saying, then why are you doing this story? Because it's a stock. It's coming to Netflix in a couple years. Next year. Is it something that I would recommend? Probably not. But those are crazy numbers, right? You'd probably recommend Netflix on a drip, on a pullback. Because those numbers are telling you what Netflix is getting in value. Eyeballs, lots and lots of eyeballs. So let's take a look at the markets today, shall we? I've kind of set the tone with a little bit of PPI inflation, not much. On a year-over-year basis, up 2.2% is not worrisome. We could deal with inflation being up 2 to 4% per year. 2% is low, 4% is high. We can deal with that. It was the CPI number yesterday that was a little more concerning because its three-month trend is not a blip. It's a bump. So the S&P 500 is down fractions today. Started in the green, but now it's down fractions. The Dow is down 0.5%. The Nasdaq's up 0.3%. I do have a big event coming up, a wealth preservation and retirement planning event. Thursday, May 9th, 6:30 to 8:30. I'm down to my last 15 to 18 months of doing these. So hopefully I'll see you. Wealth preservation and retirement planning. I might extend it past that, but it's going to look a little different for sure. The big event is Thursday, May 9th, 6:30 to 8:30. Sign up at robblackshow.com. That's robblackshow.com.
Questions about Social Security? Check out the Social Security Retirement Guide at robblack.com. That's robblack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
I'm not seeing any big stories as far as stocks today that needs to be told. If I do, I typically talk about it. I can hit like Apple is testing a game that looks kind of like New York Times connections. When I get lunch, I go through the news on my Apple phone. And one of the things I do is the crossword puzzle of the day. And it's interesting because that's one of the reasons some people buy the New York Times. And now Apple News is putting more puzzles into their news section. I think that's pretty smart. It keeps it sticky. I open it every day that I have lunch when I'm, you know, trying to spend, you know, an hour to slow down after a big day morning in the markets. Just throwing that down. I think that's a very, very smart company. Taking a look at some other stock stories out there. Goldman Sachs thinks that the big tech golden era is over. Yesterday, an executive from Goldman Sachs told Bloomberg that they're largely quitting tech as an asset manager, taking its gains it's earned from tech's bumper profits and repurposing them for new investments, primarily in energy and firms listed in Japan, as Japan's come out of a 30-year cicada-like process of finding growth, finding its wings again. So while the good times are here, they never do last. According to Goldman Sachs, that'd be Microsoft, Meta, NVIDIA, Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, and Tesla, almost single-handedly rocketed the broader S&P 500 to all-time gains. Apple's down 10% year-to-date. Tesla's down 30%. So they're starting to see some losers. Yesterday, or Tuesday rather, NVIDIA hit teetered into the correction territory, falling 10% from its recent all-time highs. The skid comes with the AI hype bubble. It may be growing a bit too big. One recent study from researchers at Cambridge, Oxford, said that AI models grow. They require exponential amounts of data to achieve just linear downstream performance results, possibly limiting how many deep learning techniques can scale. Many AI firms seem to think the internet is simply too small for their plans, and research institute Epic warns the industry could run out of high-quality training data on the web by 2026. OpenAI, Meta, and Google have all pursued creative and possibly legal strategies for digging up fresh training data, like using YouTube video transcripts or tapping publicly available Google Doc files so you have Google Docs saved. If you open those to the public, they can deem those as source for their AI training. So Goldman Sachs is saying that they're overweight on Japanese equities, which it currently sees as undervalued, and on energy companies in the U.S., which is it sees as a hedge against inflation. So as inflation continues to stay warm, not hot, but warm, a little too warm, Goldman Sachs remains cautious on some of the rate-sensitive small-cap firms and REITs. But again, they're very positive on energy. The S&P 500 oil and gas companies are up 16% this year, while tech companies are up just 11%. How's that make you feel? Want to hit one more quick concept? That was my stock talk for you. Women who stay single. This is something we don't talk about often on the air. We used to freak my sister out, my little sister, when you know you play card games as a kid. She did not want to be the old maid because she was like 3 and young and beautiful. So we used to make sure that she'd always lose that game somehow, some way, some shape, some form. So she started cheating by bending the card. But there's single women have to save more for retirement. I think that's worthy of note. In 2022, there were 43.5 million single adult women. That's up from 37 million a decade earlier. Demographic that's growing. It's the highest level ever. The triple threat for single women's retirement security is out there. Single women don't have anybody else to lean on. They make less money than men do in their pay gap. Women in the U.S. earned 84 cents for every dollar earned by men. That translates into less money available to set aside for retirement funds. Many women also tend to take time off the workforce for being caregivers of their children or family members. That results in lower future Social Security checks. The Social Security Administration, the average monthly retirement benefit for men age 65 was in 2022 was $2,020. For women, it was $1,638. So just a few years ago, age 65-year-old man would get $2,020 a month in Social Security, and a woman would get $1,638. Ooh, that's not good. About a quarter of women workers are not offered any retirement benefits by their employees, compared with only 16% of men. That's in large part due to the fact that women are twice as likely as men in the workplace to be part-time contract jobs. And many employers don't offer retirement benefits for their part-time employees. So it's significantly less wealth. In 2022, never married women had $19,200 in inflation adjusted median household wealth. In men in that same group, it's $28,100. This is all unacceptable. Women are going to college more often than men now, and that means there's probably more student debt. Women hold on average $31,276 in student debt. That leaves them a monthly loan of about $307 a year after graduation. Women take about 2 years longer than men to repay student loans due to the larger amounts of debt. When you're repaying loans in your 20s and early 30s, you tend not to save for retirement. It's frustrating. My mother outlived my father by 25 years, and my dad died way too early. But that's a long time. What can you do? You can get more knowledgeable. You can get more confident. I remember when I was young, and I started getting into the financial career, one of my goals was to educate women a little bit differently than I educate men. You got to start in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, and your 60s. You're investing every period of your life after you get out of college, in my opinion. This is alarming. Women need to save more than men because they live longer than men. Single women need to save more than you would think because they don't have the other things to fall back on. You can find me online at robblackshow.com. Coming up, I'm going to be talking mortgages with Mr. Mortgage Man, Scott Thompson.
For more information about EP Wealth, visit robblack.com. That's robblack.com.
I've been living in the Bay Area for roughly 24 years, 23 maybe. When I moved here, I was shocked at the home prices. I think everyone from the East Coast probably says the same thing. On the East Coast, we think there's a lot of earthquakes that are going to knock over buildings. I've honestly only felt two very, very small earthquakes in 23 years. Knock on wood. One of them I had to go, was that one? So there's this perception that is wrong. But the real estate, that perception is spot on. You're shocked by it when you see it. I remember Palo Alto having the million-dollar homes as a standard. It's like, whoa. Earlier this week, there was a story out that a million-dollar homes are now typical in 500 U.S. cities, which is a new record. I would not have thought 500 U.S. cities have a typical home costing $1 million. California has 210 cities where the typical home is $1 million. That's 12 more than a year ago. It just shows you that it's an asset that is expensive, and one of the things you need to do is learn how to fund it with a mortgage. Let's bring on Scott Thompson, also known as Mr. Mortgage Man. He's on the website, MrMortgageMan.com. It's MrMortgageMan.com. Scott, you grew up in the Bay Area. I haven't. I've only spent half of my life here, roughly. What's it like seeing these real estate numbers?
Well, you know, I've seen it since I was a kid, and like those numbers just really didn't surprise me. I mean, I'm in the mortgage business now, so I see it every day. But like I said, give me a great example. My dad, who also still lives here in California, up in Santa Rosa, he bought his house in 1980 for $100,000. And now it's worth around $1.1 million. Yes. Amazing.
Something. That's like, you know, I never knew what my father was paying for housing because he was in the military and we were given housing. But we lived well in homes that we probably wouldn't be able to afford based on salary. But anyway, that's totally digressing. One of the things that's interesting inside all the real estate data right now is kind of the lock-in effect. Your father has stayed in that same house for many, 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 many years, riding it from $100,000 to $1.1 million in value. That'll be a nice asset to pass on later in life. Let's talk about that lock-in effect where people think twice about listing their homes because they have low interest rates right now. How are you seeing that play out?
I think it makes sense. You know, the homeowners that have a low mortgage interest rate, and let's just say between 3% and 4%, you know, in a lot of cases are just choosing not to list their homes for sale. They don't want to give up that current low interest rate.
I totally understand that. I think there was a story out of the LA Times today that I'm kind of breaking script on that talked about how many homes are increasing in value in Southern California based on all cash offers, because kind of the mortgage world kind of went wonky in the last 18 months as interest rates moved so high so fast. And the typical 30-year mortgage went from 3% to 6-7, almost as high as 8% before cooling back down. So the average home in Southern California was up 9% from a year ago level, and it's bananas, so says one lender, because people aren't putting 20% down. They're buying in all cash offers more often than not. Scott, let's go back to you now. If someone has $1 million in a home, that's a big asset. Sometimes life happens and your kids go to college and you didn't save enough. Sometimes life happens and there's a health scare or a roof collapses and you need money and you look at that house as a piggy bank. What are your thoughts on refining or using a HELOC? A HELOC being a home equity line of credit.
Well, let's start. So a HELOC, you know, really it'll allow you to borrow up to 80 to 90% of your home equity. And that credit is secured by the equity you have in your home. So it's kind of like a credit card. You can withdraw funds as needed.
So the home equity line of credit, it's secured by the equity in the house. You can borrow up to 80 to 90%. Home equity line of credit. I had a home equity line of credit a few years ago and I had it at a super low rate. And when I sold my home and moved, they made me pay it back all at once. And I was like bummed because I wanted to keep that super low rate. Let's talk about cash out refinances. How do those work?
So how a cash out refi differs is you're going to receive, essentially, when you do that refinance, you get a new loan. And that loan is the difference between of the amount you want to take out. So if you want to take out $100,000 and you had a $700,000 balance, now your new loan's $800,000. There's some advantages. So you have a fixed rate, which stays consistent over time, and usually have lower interest rates than HELOCs.
So accessing the piggy bank of your home, because there's typical homes in California, many, many cities now are over $1 million, which is just ponderous to think about. There's the HELOC, the home equity line of credit. That's something I've used. I've never done a refi. To me, that's so funny. I have done refis. I haven't done it to take cash out, though. I've done it to lower my payment. Do you see where my psychology just failed on me live on air, Scott?
It didn't fail you. It just, that's how you choose to, you know, use the equity of your house. You wanted a lower rate. That's what was important.
And with that lower rate, I used the extra savings or the what I wasn't paying, and I put it in the stock market for my retirement. So what are some of the decision factors, Scott?
So, okay, a couple things to consider. If you prefer stability, then I would recommend going for a cash out refinance.
Okay.
If you're comfortable with adjustable rates, a HELOC may offer more equity access. A couple other things to think about. So interest rates, cash out refinances generally have a lower interest rate. Cost to consider if you do a refinance. So you have the closing costs to redo the loan, but you get the convenience of a lump sum payment versus a HELOC where it's a credit line as needed.
Sounds good, Scott. If people want to talk to you, they can find you online at MrMortgageMan.com. It's MR. Mortgage, MORTGAGE, man, MAN.com. It's MrMortgageMan.com. Scott can talk to you about if you, for instance, need to have a big credit card payment wiped out, or if you have struggles paying for your kids' college. For me, it's my kids' soccer programs, but it's not a struggle. But things aren't cheap, just to say the least. Thanks very much, Scott. People can find you at MrMortgageMan.com. Scott just helped us with home equity lines of credit versus cash out refis. It is interesting that I made a psychological mistake in my head and thinking I didn't do a refi because I've never pulled money out. I've just used refis to lower my payment. One thing to note is that both loans create unique challenges. So you really got to find out which one works for you. And a home equity line of credit, because it has an adjustable rate. If you were to ask me, I'm not a betting man, but if I were a betting man, I would imagine the adjustable rates go lower, just a skosh, in the next year as interest rates go lower. So maybe your HELOC would be a little bit cheaper, so to speak. But you got to make the decisions based on you, and Scott is somebody who can run the numbers for you. You can find him at MrMortgageMan.com. On to my world, the world of investments. Spotify employees. That's been a stock that's done really well. It plays into my total addressable market of 100 million or more users. I like that. I like a subscription-based tech company who can raise rates, raise prices. I like that a lot. $1 or $2 here goes the bottom line. You've seen Netflix do it really, really well. Back in the day, AOL did it really, really well. America Online, which is funny to think about. But you've seen the subscription model work. So Spotify employees are questioning lavish spending on events when the company lays off thousands of employees. It is the entertainment business. It is the music business. And that's kind of comes with the territory. They had a party where Sam Smith took the stage and sang his popular hit Unholy. It was part of a 3,500 capacity event held in a former IKEA store, which means it was big. And they brought Charlie XCX, Chase and Status, as drinks flowed from the bar. And then 2 days later, 4 days later, 1,500 jobs were cut. Now, that happens. And for people like me, it's a good thing. But for people like you, when I go, yeah, a company just had a concert for 3,500 people who are working with the company. Not for the employees, but for advertisers. And it seemed a little bit, how shall we say, over the top lavish. And then a couple days later, they cut 1,500 jobs. I don't see those as related. I know you do. But this morning, Amazon CEO Jassy came out and said that he's going to continue to trim jobs and focus on profitability. And Wall Street likes that. It's a horrible, not so good feeling truth that the highest cost of doing business is labor. And when you hear about job cuts, you and I hate it because they're our neighbors and our friends. But Wall Street loves it because it's a bottom line kind of business. Amazon's trading slightly higher today. I don't think that news affected a lot. They've been talking about trimming costs for the better part of over a year now. Who did it really well? Meta. And Mark Zuckerberg went from one of the worst CEOs because of his infatuation with the metaverse and throwing billions and billions and billions of dollars into a big hole, sinkhole of money, to one of the best CEOs when he said, you know, 2023 was going to be the year of efficiency. 30. That stock more than tripled because of the year of efficiency. Anyhow and anyway, and efficiency means laying off people, just between you and me and shutting down projects that are too expensive. You can find me online at robblackshow.com. It's robblackshow.com. If you need a mortgage or a refi or a HELOC, you can learn more by going to MrMortgageMan.com. That's MrMortgageMan.com.
This interview featured on The Rob Black Show is brought to you by EP Wealth. Learn more at robblack.com.
I used to have a segment on the show where I'd say things like evil Rob Black. I'm always thinking about money. An evil Rob Black in college would buy really cheap beer, but he would drink the expensive beer that his friends would buy. So I'd go to your house and drink your expensive beer. At my house, when you came over for a beer, it was the cheap beer. Now, I didn't actually even drink beer in college, which is a weird thing to admit out loud. But it gives you the idea of we should always look at things in money terms. I would say evil Rob Black. Can we kill that background music? I would say evil Rob Black. When a neighbor goes on vacation and asks me to pick up their mail, I take my electricity cord over and I charge up my Tesla, right? That's what evil Rob Black would do. I know you're saying he could look at his energy bill and see that while he was gone, someone was jacking it up. Yeah, but you get the, I'm trying to be funny in a way, but to constantly show you, for instance, I don't buy bottled water. I don't buy sparkling water. Sparkling water is bad for your teeth, my dentist says. And I tend to believe my dentist with teeth, not with investments, but with teeth. You tap with a filter and, you know, again, ways to save money, ways to cut down on plastic in the world. I don't want to be super cheap forever on this show, but there's one where I'm a little bit. I own some investments at EP Wealth, tied towards private real estate, private equity, and private debt. I look at those as defensive plays because they're not tied towards the stock market of the U.S. stock market. They're not tied towards, they're considered alternatives. It's like potentially owning gold. I don't own gold, but I see the value of it. You have to look at your tech stocks or your growth stocks or your winners as an NBA team. And the Bulls had some amazing players with Scottie Pippen and Steve Kerr and, Michael Jordan. Yeah, Michael Jordan. But they had one guy he didn't score on, a guy named Dennis Rodman, kind of like the Warriors with Clay and Curry. You have to have a Draymond Green. You have to have somebody who can play defense and play it really, really well. A Hall of Famer defender, your portfolio should have some defense in it that are assets that are non-correlated to the stock market, especially in retirement. So if you add Dennis Rodman to a team of four guys who can score, it becomes the best team in the world. Do you see where I'm going at with this? I hope this helps you a little bit in your head. I'm not against Bitcoin. I think it could be a small percentage of your assets. I don't like Bitcoin because I don't like cryptocurrencies because I don't see a real use for it, but I don't see a real use for gold either. And yet I could say, you know, if you want to have 5% in gold, that's fine. If you want a truly defensive position, it would be 20%. But it'd probably be an ETF, ticker symbol GLD. I would be fine with that. I would prefer you not go down to Costco. You know what I like about the Costco gold story? Where they're selling gold by the ounce. And they're, you know, pulling in a lot of money in gold sales. What I love about that story is it's kind of cool. There's an investment angle at Costco, right? Costco raised their dividend today. But what I don't like about it is people are taking physical gold home. I would prefer it to be not taking it home. At some point in time, you might lose. If you know what an ounce of gold looks like, it's tiny. You're thinking people are buying gold bars at Costco? No. They're buying an ounce of gold. 2% above the spot market, which I love, because if you were to go to a gold dealer and try to buy a ounce, you're going to pay 30% markups for gold coins. You hear the commercials like, gold coins are the safest investment ever. You'll hear it on radio, you'll hear it on TV late night, right? Those are have 30% markup coins do. 30% to sell, 30% to buy. That's crazy. You can't make money like that. But 2% markup at Costco, I love that. Now, what I don't like is the physical gold going home with it. Now, again, that's just me. I see a lot of you losing it and your children coming in one day and cleaning up the house when you die and saying, what's this? Throw that in the trash. Oh boy, you just threw 2,000 or 2,200 or 2,400, whatever it is, an ounce at that point in time in the trash. Not good. 5 mistakes high net worth individuals make in retirement. Number one is not changing asset allocation to meet your needs and goals. This is a simple one. As your state gets larger, it's important to understand your goals have changed. You no longer need to grow it. I see way too many people with between 3 and 10 million just saying, I'm going to stay in the same old tech stocks. Now, 10 to 30 million, I don't see people being that stubborn. It's kind of interesting. That's when they really truly start to diversify into things like Japan, into things like private equity, private real estate, private debt. Another big mistake that I see high net worth people make is failing to update their estate documents to reflect their current net worth and concerns. If you have an estate that exceeds $25 million, you may want to speak with your advisor and attorney about what strategies you should be implementing before the estate tax is cut in half. And as your estate grows, there are more concerns you may have or loftier goals that you may want to accomplish with your estate plan. If you fail to update your estate documents to reflect your current net worth and goals, you may be taking advantage you may not be taking advantage of some of the tax saving strategies. The third biggest mistake I see high net worth people making in retirement is underestimating healthcare costs. This is a big one. Long-term care costs are going to run $120,000 a year, typically for about 3 or 4 years. If you need long-term care, you should invest in the insurance of it right around age 55. You should have proper conversations with your family about your wishes. Another mistake that I see. And finally, not updating your insurance to reflect your current needs. I have an umbrella insurance policy. I have a high net worth. If I were to hit a car of attorneys, I would have a low net worth, but my umbrella insurance would pay it off. Therefore, I will keep my high net worth. You can find me online at Rob Black Show. Need a referral to a financial planner like I use? Drop me an email, rob@robblackshow.com. If you need a mortgage, go to MrMortgageMan.com. Find me online at Rob Black Show. And I have a big event coming up May 9th in Palo Alto on a Thursday evening, 6:30 to 8:30. Wealth preservation, estate planning. Sign up at RobBlackShow.com.
Visit the Rob Black Show online at RobBlackShow.com. Listen to archived podcasts, market updates, and information from EP Wealth certified financial planners online at RobBlackShow.com.